Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm thankful for the singing tonight. And, I didn't intend just to not sing, but that's the way it went. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. The little bit of amen and I did, I realized my throat hurt worse than I thought it did. And my body, I guess, hasn't been used to preaching this many nights in a row, these many services in a row with everything that's been going on. It's been more weekends and so on like that. So I wore out faster than what I'd like to. But the Lord will give us some help for that tonight, I believe, and ask that you do pray for us. But I'm thankful for the direction the service went as well, the singing, the songs, and I'm thankful for the promise. Amen. Amen. A lot of times we as Christians, we're real good at quoting scripture that don't exist. I love when people say, "Oh, Lord, never put more on than you can handle." Well, then why should we cast all our care upon Him if we can handle it ourselves? And He never said it was going to be easy, but He said He'd be there. And He never said it was always going to be mountaintops, but David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He said, I'll fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me." And I'm thankful for the true promises of God. The impression made on me. I love listening to people. Preachers, not just what they're preaching on, but I like to listen for little things that they do, maybe things that become repetitive and what we would call a style that they have. And Brother David Nix, he's one of my favorites. And one thing that Brother David says while he's preaching, he says, "I want to look at these truths." And I'm sure all preachers that have listened to Brother David preach more than once have caught on to that. And I appreciate the way he says that, because they're coming from the Word of God. And every time he gives his sermon title, he'll say, "Let's look at some truths about this." And I'm glad that a man of God will stand and give some truths about the Word of God, not just some ideas about the Word of God. I've heard a lot of idea preaching. I've heard a lot of what I think preaching, and I've heard a lot of maybe this would work in the right scenario, but I like preaching truths from the Word of God. Amen. I'm thankful that there are some true promises that He's given. Amen. I'm thankful for that city. Oh, what a city, what a land. Amen. That just gets me excited. Amen. If that don't do nothing for you, you're doing for you is broke. Amen. Amen. You start thinking of that land and that city. Amen. No more sickness, no more pain, no more heartache. Amen. No more bad doctor's visits, no more bad phone calls. Amen. But all is peace forevermore. On that happy golden shore, what a day, what a day that'll be. Amen. That's going to be a good day. Amen. What's the best part of that land and that city? It's the one they were singing about. Amen. It's the one that replaced the sun. Amen. It's the one that we're going to see. It's the one that gave us a reason to go. And it's the one that made a way for us to go. Amen. The Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. He's there. And I cannot wait to see Him tonight. Amen. I bless His name. Hallelujah. Amen. Go back with me to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight. We'll find our place. And I want you to look at verse number 30 with me. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 30. And typically the way that I would preach this series through Hebrews has completely been interrupted all week long. And so we'll just keep on flying our kite the way the wind blows. Amen. Amen. If you want to fly it the direction you want to, you're going to fight it all day long. Amen. But you just let God blow the wind and you just jump in. Amen. Amen. Enjoy what God's doing. And so I've preached it almost backwards from any other way that I normally would preach it. And who knows what tomorrow will hold, but typically I like to start more in the beginning of the chapter and look through some of these by faiths, some of these examples that have been given to us throughout this chapter. I love looking at the life of Abraham and what he did for the Lord by faith. And I love looking at the life of Noah, what he did for the Lord by faith. But tonight I want to preach on this thought, if the Lord would help us just for a moment, as we think about these children of Israel, as they are making their way toward the promised land, as they have followed Moses for a number of years, and wondered more than they made progress. They walked in circles more than they walked in straight lines, you could say. But Joshua has now led them into the place that God has prepared for them. But something that they found out quickly is that even though they was in the promised land, even though that they was in the place that God had prepared for them, they found out that there was still battles to fight. I've often heard and even read the typologies of Canaan land and heaven. And I can see it in many ways that Canaan can be a great picture of heaven. But the one problem that I have is there will be no more battles to fight when we get over there. We'll lay our armor down and there'll be no swords drawn, amen, in that fair city. There'll be no plans to put together to fight the enemy one more time. But the children of Israel found out just as soon as they crossed over the River Jordan, when the scouts came back, they said, "Hey, we found the place that God prepared for us, but here's the problem. Someone else is living in it." They found out that the place that they had been given by God, prepared by God, was still yet one more battle to be won. And it's not necessarily a place of heaven, but it is a place of victory. It's a place where victory can be gotten. It's a place where victory can be won. And I say it to you like this tonight, your Canaan land, your promised land, it's not heaven on earth, but it is the will of God for your life. It is the place that God desires for you to be. And just because you're in God's will for your life, it does not mean that it's a time of walking through a field of flowers. But there is going to be adversity. There is going to be trials. There is going to be heartaches. But thanks be unto God, we can have victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm thankful to know that even though I may have to pull up the sword, I may have to fight one more battle with God on my side, I can live in victory with Him tonight. Oh, the Word of God says this, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. After they were compassed about 7 days. Father, I pray that You'd help us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You'd touch us. Lord, I need a spiritual touch tonight, and Lord, I need a physical touch tonight. God, Lord, would You speak to me and through me tonight? Use me as Your vessel and the instrument to relay the sound that You have for Your people. God, Lord, encourage those that need it. Lift up those that are fallen. Strengthen those that are weakened. And God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that You'd receive the glory for it tonight. And Lord, we pray it through Your precious and lovely name, through Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we find these truths tonight in Hebrews 11 of these walls falling down, there is a way that they had to fall down. And I believe with all my heart there was only one way for them to fall down. And that was simply put for them to do exactly what God said, exactly how God said, and exactly when God said to do it. Amen. If you're trying it any other way tonight, you will fail miserably. But if you'll just believe and trust the plan that God has written for your life, honey, it may make you scratch your head from time to time. It may make you wonder what in the world is God even doing in my life? But at the end and at the outcome, you'll be able to look back and say, I'm so glad I did it God's way and I did not do it my way. Amen. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Lean not to thine own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all thy ways. Honey, sometimes His plan really don't make sense when you look at it on paper. But in the end, it's worth paying attention to. All these children of Israel, they're people of war. This ain't the first battle that they ever fought, and it wasn't the last battle they ever fought. I like the way that Israel goes to war. Still to this day, they're not a people to be messed with. they still have a number of victories under their belt that really cannot even be explained. Amen. They have conquered countries surrounding them, more manpower all around, but they've got something that those others did not have. Amen. They got a smile from God on His face. They got a hand reaching down, intervening. Amen. Amen. God was on their side. That's His people. That's His children. And God works in their lives even when they cannot see it. Oh, but I tell you how they'd like to go to war. If I could just put it to you plainly, they go to win. Amen. They don't care whose feelings they're going to hurt. They don't care, amen, who it is or where they're from. Amen. What kind of artillery they got with them. Amen. They just know that we can handle it because God's on our side. They've always done it that way. They're still doing it that way. They're going to continue to do it that way. Amen. And Israel goes to war to win. They're trained. They're prepared. They've got a plan. But something happens in Joshua chapter number 6 as they prepare to go and take over this land in Jericho. And the first thing that happens is God begins to speak with Joshua. He tells him in verse number 3, He said, "Compass the city, all you men of war. Go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpet." Here God is explaining to Joshua the format of how this battle is to be fought. And I don't know if you've seen it or not, but that's not the way they fight battles. That's not how they've ever done it before. That is completely out of their mind. Honey, they were thinking about drawing swords, throwing spears, shooting their arrows, getting their armor put on just like they've always done. But when God gave the word, it didn't involve a sword. It did not involve any armor. It involved one thing, and that was something totally different than what they'd ever done. Oh man. He said, "How are we going to fight this battle?" He said, "You're going to walk around it." Oh me. What I was amazed by is God told them to walk around their battle, but not to leave their battle. Look at what it was said in verse number 3. He said, "And go around about the city." One. You ever seen an animal as it's stalking its prey? I like to watch those National Geographic episodes when they do studies on different animals. And you can see they're standing around those gazelles, standing around those innocent deer and whatever all they got over there in foreign countries and where those big cats roam. Amen. They got that whatever it is they're fishing to attack, they got it surrounded. And they start circling it in and drawing in a little bit closer. You know what was going on over there in Jericho? They were circling around what they was fixing to pounce on. Amen. And they was drawing in a little bit closer every time. Amen. And all of a sudden when God gives the word, they learn quickly, amen, to walk around their circumstance. I like to think about it like this. Normally we let our circumstance surround us. Ain't that how we like to operate? Oh, but what they was doing is they was surrounding their circumstance. Instead of them being nervous about Jericho, Jericho was nervous about them. Back up just a little bit. Amen. I believe over there in chapter number 2, when the spies get over there to Rahab's house, amen, and they go in there, and Rahab said, "We know something's fixing to go down. We don't know what's fixing to happen, but our hearts have melted within us." I don't know how they knew, but something was going on down there in Jericho. I believe God was letting those people know, amen, the way you've been living is about to be over. This is my people's land. This is my people's country. It's time to pack your bags and move on out of here. God had been surrounding the circumstance before they ever got there. Oh, me. First thing we find out, it was a specific strategy that they used to be winning by faith. He changed the way that they did things. They wasn't used to
fighting the fight this way. But then, when God changed it, because sometimes when God changes our plans, Brother Jeffrey, sometimes I feel like that's a free get out of jail card and fast go. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Lord said, well, we're going to do a little bit different today. I think, thank the Lord, I just do whatever I want today. Anybody ever felt like that? That ain't how God works, is it? When God changed the way that they fought this battle, He gave them not only a changed plan, but He gave them a clear plan. He said, take the ram's horn, get the people, and He said, and get the ark. Amen. Get the ark and walk around the wall 6 times, one every day. He said, and on the 7th day, ye shall compass the city round about 7 times. Let me just say it to you like this and move on. When God changed their plan, He gave them specific orders on exactly how He wanted it done. When God gets involved in your life and you start fighting your battles, when He gives you a different way to do it than you've ever done it before, you better be listening real close, because I guarantee you, coming right along behind the change of plan, it's going to be a clear plan on how God wants you to do it and exactly how He wants it done. Instead of us just taking that opportunity to doing what we want and how we want it, it's time that we listen and heed to the voice of God and we listen very closely for the exact way that He wants us to walk, the direction that He wants us to turn, amen, and how fast it is that He wants us to go, amen, and thanks be unto God that not only when He changed their plan, that He just didn't leave them out in limbo. I've seen so many people say, I just don't know what God wants to do in my life. I say, well, why don't you sit down and just listen for a moment? Because He didn't send you out here to walk around in the unknown. Just take a moment of your life and listen to the voice of God for what He has for you. Oh, my. I hate to point Him out because He's sitting here tonight, but one of the most powerful things I'd ever heard in my life. I just surrendered to preach. I believe it was the following fellowship meeting, Brother Mike. And you had got up one morning, it was one of the mornings where it was just good. And I don't even remember what all was going on. As far as I know, amen, they were singing the Itsy Bitsy Spider, and you got up and exhorted. I don't know. But I'll never forget that morning, you stood up and you said, you know, I hear a lot of young preachers saying, pray for me, Brother Mike. Pray for me, I'm trying to find the will of God for my life. And there I was, 19 years old, fixing to turn 20, just surrendered to preach, and I thought, oh man, He's fixing to help me. Because I was sitting on that front row, and I was just trying to conjure up the strength somewhere to go to a preacher somewhere in that meeting and ask them to pray for me, because I was trying to find the will of God for my life. Oh, and Brother Mike is already reading my mail, and he was fitting to help me. And then you said like this, you said, I'm tired of these young preachers saying, Brother Mike, pray for me. Trying to find the will of God for me. I thought, well, we'll go ask somebody different. And Mike, I'll never forget it. Like it was yesterday, you said, why don't you just wake up in the morning and when your feet hit the ground, be in the will of God for your life. Do what God says to do. Go where God says to go. Amen. Everything that God says, just do it. Everywhere He points you, just keep on walking that direction. And that morning you made it perfectly clear to me that the will of God was not somewhere spread out across the United States of America, hiding in little old pods. And I had to go on a great journey and find it one day and just hope that I had my name in that box and that I'd be in the will of God. But I realized if I would just be Jared and just be the man that God wanted me to be, and just go where God said go, and do what God said do, that one day I'd wake up and realize, honey, I'm right where God wants me. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm right where God wants me to be. Oh, my. And I'll never forget. Fast forward just a little bit later. I guess that probably would have been somewhere around 2009 to 2010. And I remember when me and Jennifer got married, 2013. The first year, I was real envious of Taryn's testimony a while ago, because she was talking about, you know, roof overhead, nice and warm, all this and that and the other. Didn't sound like she had the first home me and Jennifer had. It was me and Jennifer and a parcel of rats. And I remember the first year we got married. I'm talking about the coldest winter that I've seen in South Carolina since we've been there was the first year we got married. And we lived in an old shotgun house. Up to a month of us getting married, I had nowhere to live. Talking about being nervous. Finally, a neighbor of theirs, great friends of ours now, he came to me. He said, "Son, I don't know you." He said, "But they're like family to me." He said, "And I probably can't do much." He said, "But I've got a house here." He said, "Y'all more than welcome to live there if you'd like it. And if you need it," he said, "you may already have something figured out, something planned." He said, "But if you need it, this is an option." I said, "Actually, that's my only option." Y'all know what I'm talking about? Went over there, shotgun house. That had only been added on to as the years went on. And so you can imagine a shotgun house, everything you need is right there in that one or two rooms. And in the living room, which was now the living room, there was a big old wood stove for the heater. And then this room over here, there was a window unit for the air conditioner. And then over here was a bedroom that was nowhere near the air conditioner or the heater. And over here was a living room that we bought a brand new couch from Big Lots, and we never sat in it while we lived in that house because that room was always too hot or cold. And then if this was the room with the wood stove, here was the dining room, and then through this door was our bedroom. And in the middle of winter, February, I'm talking about it was cold. 4 inches of snow, amen, and it was freezing. Didn't even hardly get out of the 30s for several days. I had that wood stove so hot, Brother Mike, I could see that thing glowing like a nightlight when we go to bed at night. But the problem was it was 2 rooms away from where me and Jennifer was. So I thought, box fan. That was the ticket. So I got a box fan. I put one behind it to blow the heat that way. And I got another one. I put it in front of it to pull the heat that way. And that really wasn't cutting it. So quartz heaters was my next thing. Had one on this dresser. Had one on her dresser. And in the 30s and in the high 20s, we bundled up. I had that wood stove. I'm going to use it. That thing was ablaze, and I had them quartz heaters that had long johns on. I'm talking about we had every blanket that we could find between our house, Mama's house, her Mama's house, and in the neighbor's house. If y'all got an extra one, give it to us. We need it. It was so, I'm telling you, this is a God honest truth. I hate to tell a preacher story, but this is the truth. It was so cold in the house one night. With the fire, with the quartz heater. I said, "Are you awake?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Look." Am I telling it? It was cold. And when we finally could get out of the blankets and wake up the next morning, I mean, it was like, had to get the rats off the bed first. I never forget Jennifer. She was teaching then. And she come around the corner one morning getting ready for school, and I was in the bed still sleeping. She come around the corner, and Brother Mike, my mind went back to that meeting. And I bundled up in my quilts and blankets and looking at my breath. Jennifer come around the corner all done up and fixing to go teach that morning. And something swelled up within me. And the Lord said, "You smack dab in the middle of the will of God for your life, ain't you?" And there I was thinking I was too cold. Oh, we thought it was too hot in the summer. But somehow, some way, I just determined that I was going to wake up every morning and be who God said to be and go where God said to go and do what God said to do. Honey, I ain't boasting in myself tonight, but I'm glad that I was listening for when God changed the plans. He gave me some clear plans to live by. And thanks be unto God. I'm glad I woke up and realized I was where God wanted me to be. It ain't that hard to find it, but sometimes it's hard to be it. Sometimes God puts it out there plainly for us to see, but we don't like what we see. Oh, I don't know if He had a nice warm house for me somewhere. I don't know if He had a house with central heat and air in it with my name on it, if I would have went my way, if I'd have done my plans, if I'd have done what Jared wanted to do. But I sure am glad that I wasn't waking up in that house. Amen. Somewhere else. But I'm glad that I woke up in the place that God had for me that day. Specific strategy. Not just a specific strategy, but there was a steady supplication. Look in verse number 4. The Bible says, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. 7th day shall come past the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. Look at verse number 6. And then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. Look at verse number 11. So the ark of the Lord come past the city, going about at once, and they came into the camp and lodged in 7. It wasn't just because they was listening to what God said. You got to do that though. But they had something else on their side that the enemy did not have. Matter of fact, this little piece of the part of the story was so sought after, when others find out how good this little piece of the puzzle was working, they wanted it down at their house. Hey man, when they found out, when this little old thing showed up on their dirt road, the blessings of God was coming. Hey man, that God honored it and God blessed it. Hey man, and it became the desired thing. You say, what was it? It was that ark of God. It was that presence that God had with them. It was that power. There was something about that ark being there that was doing something in the battle that man could not do on his own. That ark is a powerful thing. That ark is so powerful, it'll get you in a camp meeting somewhere. Amen. And you'll watch a preacher that you ain't never heard of stand up somewhere behind a pulpit. Amen. And he'll tell your text. He'll tell his text. And he'll start preaching. And all of a sudden, you'll start feeling something on the inside. And you'll say, I ain't felt this in a long time. How come I'm feeling it now? And I didn't feel it yesterday. And I didn't feel it last night. How come I didn't feel it when the dignified preacher was preaching? It might just be that one preacher was carrying something with him that the others might not have. That ark is so powerful, it'll give that singer an unction. It'll give that singer a touch. Amen. Then the tears begin to flow out your eyes. Oh, when God gets to moving and the ark gets involved, that's when the victory is won. Oh, hallelujah. The presence of God was involved, and the power of God was involved. It wasn't just the specific strategy, the steady supplication. Notice this, it was the shout that sounded. Notice what happens in verse number 5. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight forward. Now I walked in the church this evening. Didn't know Brother Jeffrey was here. But when I seen him, I said, Brother Jeffrey, did you come by yourself? He said, I was watching last night. I didn't hear nobody shouting. I figured I had to go down there and shout for him. You know what I like? I like shouting. Amen. I like shouting. Hey, I like loud shouting. Amen. I'll do it at the ball game. I'm going to do it in the church. Amen. I'm going to do it outside when I get happy. I'm going to do it inside. Amen. When I'm happy, I'm going to do it anywhere when I get happy. I like to shout. It don't make me nervous. What makes me nervous is when there ain't no shouting. There's one time I got nervous under some shouting. I was in North Carolina one time, and they ain't said an amen or an oh me. My mic, I was singing, it was me. I had my guitar. First time I'd ever been to this church, Jennifer was there. Matter of fact, she was sitting in the row right in front of the woman that's fixing to do what I'm fixing to tell you. I was singing, it was me. And I got about halfway through there. Who do you think hung the stars in the sky? Hey, man, we got to talking about all of that. And I said, it was me. Oh, it was me. And all of a sudden, that quiet church erupted. There was one woman that got happy that afternoon. She jumped up, Brother Mike, out of her seat. She said, wow! Right beside Jennifer. And I thought Jennifer caught the Holy Ghost. Jennifer immediately went, I said, we in a Baptist church. But after she started shouting a little bit, I was liking it pretty good. I like when people get excited for the things that God's done for them. If you can't give an amen or glory every now and then or a hallelujah or a praise the Lord or a thank you Jesus or a well glory, amen, every now and then, amen, you must have forgot how good God is. Oh, man. We ought to be ashamed of us for coming into church and not saying amen. Amen. One preacher, he said it like this. He said, I've done made up my mind. He said, I'm going to church. He said, when I do, I'm saying amen at least 15 times a service. Amen. Can't get count. Get a pen and paper out. He said, that's in the flesh. Well, try breathing without being in the flesh. Huh? I like shouting. I'll just be honest with you. There's some times that I get there. I can't help it. Amen. Amen. I can't do it tonight because I ain't got no voice. I hope I don't get them tonight. Amen. But there's just some times, Brother Mike, when God gets to moving in some services. I'll just weep my way toward His feet. And I'll shout a little while and I'll get at an altar and I'll pray a little while and thank Him. Amen. I just want to give Him some gratitude, some thank you for what you've done. But something happened in our text tonight. The Word of God said, and all the people shall shout the great shout. And the wall shall fall down flat. Oh, we like to thank God for what He's already done. But the progression that we just received was not thank God for what you've done. Oh, me. He said, y'all go ahead and go to shouting as if the wall already has come down flat. And when I hear y'all are shouting, honey, I'll rock the earth. I'll start shaking the foundations and I'll knock the wall down. You get the shout and I'll get the shout. Oh. He said, don't thank me for what I have done. Thank me for what I'm going to do. Oh, I'm sorry, I ain't got a book. Can you give me a shout?
Amen.
That feels good. Hallelujah. Don't thank me just for what I did yesterday. Don't thank me for what I did last week. Not for what I did last year. Oh, but that thing you've been praying about. That thing you've been begging God for. Just go ahead and put both hands up. And say, thank you, Lord. I might not see it now. I may not have it in my hands. But I'm going to thank you like I already do.
You give the shout. I'll give the shout. Now, I'll never forget me and Jennifer, we was praying about something dearly. Earnestly. I'm talking about this thing was big. It was big to us. Might not have been big to anybody else, but it was real big to us. We was praying for it, Brother Darnell.
And we had prayed and we had prayed and we had prayed. And then we prayed some more. The Lord still ain't done it. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, man, when God gets to moving, he said, when God shows up, you feel His presence in the sanctuary, he said, ask Him for big things. I believe it. I agree with it. Amen. Amen. If I ask Daddy to give me his four-wheeler, there's a better chance that he'll give it to me when I'm here. There's a better chance. That four-wheeler must be a real sensitive subject. How about a hat? I would say, how about a pair of socks, but I just steal them anyways. I borrowed some Sunday, if you're case you're wondering where they were. Inspector Gadget back there. He knew something was out of place in the drawer. I feel like I'd have a better chance of getting anything from my father if I was real close to him. Instead of real far away. So me and Jennifer, we've prayed. We got in one of them services one time. I'm talking about there was a shouting, there was a carrying on, God was there, they was moving in the altar. I grabbed her by the hand, Brother Jeffrey, and we went to the altar. I said, oh Lord, you know it. And I began to talk about that need again, begin crying out to Him, tell Him all about it, don't you? Oh, in Jesus' name, amen. I felt good about that one. You ever prayed some prayers? Yeah. That's going to do it. Them other ones, they might not have reached heaven, but I guarantee you that one got through. I felt good about that one. We went on about our lives. Prayer still was not answered. We got another one of them services, and I said, let's go. We got down there, Brother Darnell. And I'm telling you, the Lord may not talk to y'all like this. He just talks to me this way sometimes. I said, Lord, when I really need you, He said, hush. You ever have the Lord tell you to quit praying while you're trying to pray? Am I the only one, Brother Mike? Thank you, Brother Mike, for nodding your head. I was starting to feel real bad about my prayer life. They all got it made. He said, I've already heard that prayer. He said, matter of fact, He said, I knew about that prayer before you ever even knew about it. He said, I knew every word, I knew every tear, I knew every time you talked to me about it. He said, I know. He said, but today, He said, I want you to thank me for it. Amen. Y'all know sometimes that good preaching just makes good preaching and hard living. Oh, me. I said, wait a minute, Lord. I said, I ain't got it. You ain't answered my prayer yet, Lord. He said, no, I haven't. He said, but today you're going to thank me like I already have. Amen. And I didn't know how. How do you thank the Lord? It's easy to just say thank Him when you ain't got it. But when it comes down to being in an altar, being in your place of prayer, and you want to pour a heart out of thanksgiving for something you ain't got, how is that supposed to be real? And that's what I told Him. I said, Lord, I don't know how to thank You like I really have it. And I'll never forget in that moment of prayer, the Lord said, if you'll just try, I'll make it real for you. And I'd quit praying. My wife probably thought I was crazy for quit praying, but I wouldn't let her go. Usually when I get, she's real spiritual. When I get through praying, she's gone. You know, no, in the altar, I love you, honey. And as soon as I say amen, she's already sitting back down. I'm just teasing. I went to say the word thank you, but I couldn't even get the word thank out. I said, and the Lord said, oh, you're welcome. Oh, me. I tried to thank Him, and I couldn't even hardly do it because the Holy Ghost was just squeezing on me so big that day. I was trying to say thank you, Lord, but every time I went to say thank you, He just kept saying, you're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome, and He kept loving on me. Amen. I said, Lord, I ain't got it, but thank you anyways. And Lord, I may not see it, but thank you anyhow. I prayed, Lord, will you, for over a year. And I said, Lord, thank you for about a month. And God answered the prayer. I ain't trying to boast on myself tonight. I'm not trying to tell you about me and my wife's prayer life. But what I am trying to tell you is that you'll look in the Word of God just as He told them. You give me the praise. You give me the shout. You give me the thank you. And then I'll grab it by the bottom of the foundation. And you'll see the rocks begin to fall. And the cracks begin to form. And I'll give you the shout in your life. Oh, hallelujah. There is a specific strategy. There is a steady supplication. There is a shout that sounded. It was a great shout. It was a shout. I'm reminded of the verses. 1 John 5:4 said, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world." What was it that did it for them in Joshua chapter number 6? Well, Hebrews 11 said it like this: by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. There's going to be a day that comes when faith shall end in sight. There's going to be a day when I won't need no more faith, because my faith is going to get me to where faith is. The faith giver is going to one day say, "You don't need no more faith, because here's faith." Oh, hallelujah. But until that day, I'm going to keep moving on by faith. I found an interesting video. I don't know how I got on this. Jennifer hates it. I get in bed at night and I watch YouTube videos. She made me start wearing earbuds so I don't disturb her for beauty sleep. Somehow, I got on military training videos. Got to watching them drill sergeants and drill instructors. Different way they holler at them, and how the Army is versus how the Marines is versus how they... Somehow, I come across this video of a man who's in the Navy SEALs. Now he's retired. He's a motivational speaker now. And he made one statement in a speech that I was watching that sent chills all across me. I know several men in here's military, and Andrew, you've been military, and if I get it wrong, y'all correct me after church. He said, I went in specifically, I wanted to be a Navy SEAL. He said, I went through basic training, did all that. He said, before I even went to basic training, boot camp, whatever you call it, he said, me and my buddy, we moved out to Colorado. He said, we trained every day for 6 months at 10,000 feet. He said, we wanted our lungs to get used to not having the air that you'd normally have down closer to sea level. He said, we was trying to make it harder on ourselves before we ever even got there. He said, normal training was a breeze for us. He said, but then we went to Buds, that first step to become a SEAL. If I remember right, maybe some of y'all men remember, he said, 90% of the men that go into that first class, go ahead and go back home. He said, not many even make it through Buds. He said, of the 10% that make it, he said, the next phase, the next stage of training that they go to is Hell Week. He said, and in that week, he said, that 10% even becomes smaller. He said, men that you'd have thought would be able to withstand any type of test, go through any circumstance, he said, they'd get out of their mind. He said, they'd lose it. He said, the first thing they do, he said, even in Buds, he said, they want to get you soaking wet, get you out in the ocean, the freezing cold ocean. He said, they make you come back, get up on the beach and crawl around in the sand, get sand all over you, get sand all on the inside of your uniform. He said, by the end of the day, he said, your skin is being rubbed off. He said, it's miserable training. He said, and I cannot express to you the amount of torture that it seemed like we was going through. He said, when we got to Hell Week, he said, halfway through that week, I believe, if I remember right, some of you men could help me, he said that week starts on a Sunday afternoon, sometime between 12 and that evening of Sunday. They don't know when. The men come in, they get them unexpectedly, and it begins right then. He said from Sunday evening all the way through Wednesday, he said not one ounce of sleep. He said they want you to get into a place of your mind where you're just delusional, where you're losing it, where your focus is bad. He said you're in and out of water. You're holding your breath for longer than you can handle. You're passing out. They're having to smack you and bring you back and get your consciousness back. He said, and one by one, they're falling all around me. He said, but there was a phrase that our leader taught us. This was the phrase that he gave in a speech. He said, if you can do anything one time, he said, you can do it seven more times. He said, if you feel like you can't do one more push-up, he said, you got seven more in you. He said, if you feel like you can't run another mile, he said, dig a little deeper. There's seven more miles down in you somewhere. He said, if you feel like you can't go another hour, he said, just keep on going. There's seven more hours down in there somewhere. He said, when you feel like giving up, there's the ability to go seven more times. And when I read Joshua chapter number 6, and they had walked around those walls one time for 6 days, and they ain't seen nothing happen yet. You know what Joshua said on day number 7? He said, we ain't going around it once today. We're going 7 more times. Hold me. And when those men looked at that leader and said, he's probably lost his mind. Honey, Joshua said, y'all feel like giving up. We're going 7 more. Oh, we're going to go 7 more around the wall. We're going 7 more around the enemy. We're going to blow the trumpet at the 7th. And Brother Darnell, when you don't feel like going on the street corner, say, I'm going to go 7 more times before I quit. When you done prayed that prayer as many times as you felt like you could pray it, just go back to your prayer closet and pray it 7 more times. When you taught your Sunday school lesson for the last time, say, God, I'll give you 7 more Sundays. I'll teach you 7 more times. When you sung your song as many times as you can sing it, make up your mind, I'm going to sing 7 more times. And they walked around 7 more times. And on the 7th time, they got the victory. By faith. Oh. The preacher said it like this. It's a battlefield, brother. Not a recreation room. He didn't say it was going to be easy. But it's going to be right. He didn't say that fear would never find you in the night. But he did say, I'll be right by your side. He never said that friends wouldn't turn their back on you. But he did say, I'll be waiting. So, can I tell you tonight to keep going by faith? By faith, I'm winning. I already know how it ends. I already know I got the victory on the other side. But I believe I'll just keep going. And I'm going to win each battle that comes along my way. We're standing together. By faith. How many of you need to come tonight and say, Lord, oh, I felt like giving up. But by faith, I'm going to win this 22. I'm going to keep on going. Help me, Lord, to go 7 more times. Help me, Lord, to keep marching on. Help me, Lord, to keep following the command. Help me, Lord, to keep getting in your presence and to be surrounded by your power. By faith, be a winner tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Lord, and I pray, God, will that you help us. You see, we can be winners tonight. Lord, we know that we'll win at the end of the story. But Lord, for this battle we're fighting right now, for this trial that is in our life right now, Lord, we can be winning. We don't have to live in defeat. In Jesus' name, while they sing.